Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. The drama escalates in the New York State Senate, and one of the main players is Blake Morris, who is running a primary against Sipka Felder, and Felder is the wild card in this whole election. So, Blake, how's it going?
Oh, good morning, Cynthia. Thank you for having me on your show. It is going extremely well. We're really excited about the campaign.
So, the numbers were exactly what we thought they would be coming out of Tuesday's primary. And there's just one seat difference between the Democrats being in control and the Republicans. And that one seat is Cynthia Felder, who is a Democrat, who caucuses with the Republicans. So since Tuesday, what has transpired?
Well, actually, in some ways, the world has changed, and in other ways, the world has stayed the same. So the world before the Democratic resignations was in a 63-seat Senate chamber. There were 32 Democrats and 31 Republican. Senator Felder, as many listeners will remember, is the 32nd Democrat who had voted for the Republicans to be in control of the state Senate. Then we lost two Democratic state senators, and the governor, in a belated move, eventually scheduled a special election where the two Democratic challengers were successful in their respective races. The Bronx race voter turnout was very low, and no one is talking about that race. So that was basically an election in a can. The Shelley Myers race in Westchester County was a hotly watched race where millions of dollars were spent, and Shelley outperformed George Latimer when he last ran. And Latimer was the last Democrat. So even though millions were spent against the Democrats actually produced higher turnout numbers, and the overall voting rate was much higher than in recent memory in Westchester County. So not only did Shelley Myers win her election, but she won it big, and the Democratic Party also won big in Westchester County. So there is a momentum, there's inertia to have Democrats in the state Senate. And we basically, with all this news and information and support of the public for Democratic policies, we're basically exactly where we were a few months back, where we're back to 32 Democrats, 32nd Democrat being Sipka Felder, and 31 Republicans, and Felder being the swing vote. So we're back. So basically the shorthand is we are back to the future.
Okay, let me ask you this question. You said that a lot of money was poured into the Myers race, and I was speaking to a friend primary night, and that person was a little bit put out by the fact that so much money was spent when Myers had the edge, but he didn't take into consideration the amount of money that the Republicans poured into the race. Now my question to you is, since Felder is the wild card, has the Democratic Party open its pocketbook up to you?
Not at this point. I think at this point it is too early. I have had no one from the state or a county party contact me. There is an amazing, overwhelming groundswell support of the grassroots, of political activists, of people who are on the edges of the Democratic Party in the state and the county or the city. But the actual party structure itself has not been in contact with me.
People have heard the name, probably, Felder. So can you explain to all of our listeners why you believe Simca Felder should be voted out of office?
Yes. Well, I certainly could. Well, Mr. Senator Felder, who's my state senator, he was first elected in 2012. The district was created, and he was first elected as its first senator in 2012. And since his first primary challenge in that 2012 race, as soon as that race was complete, Senator Felder announced he will be conferencing with the Republicans. So he's never been, in the 6 years that he's been in the state Senate, he has never conferenced with the Democrats. And he has always voted for the Republican conference to be in control of the chamber. So when this last couple of days with the drama, will he or won't he go back, there really wasn't much drama at all, because the presumption, I mean the assumption, is that Senator Felder actually can exercise free will, and he has no free will on this issue because he's made a Faustian bargain with Republican leadership, and they're holding over his head a thing called a Wilson-Pakula waiver, which is a state statute, and this is a special piece of it's a special piece of law, and it allows a political party in this state to give a waiver for a non-registered party member to run either in the primary or the general election under that party's name. So basically, Senator Felder is beholden to Senator Flanagan, who is the president of the state Senate, who is a Suffolk County Republican, because Felder knows he is going to lose the Thursday, September 13th state Democratic primary, and he needs that waiver so he can run as a Republican in November. And so what we have is basically a turncoat. I'm sorry. I just want to finish my thought. So what we have is a turncoat Democrat who always is a Republican, and he's only a Democrat in name only. And even now, as we're coming close to the September primary, he needs an insurance policy.
So, come September, if you won the primary, then you're telling me that Felder would accept the Wilson-Pakula and run as a Republican, and you would have this challenge all the way to November.
Yes, I will make an honest man out of Simca Felder and make him run as a Republican in the November general election.
Wow. So there was an article in City and State today about this Felder and the state Senate, and some of the questions raised was, why are the Democrats so powerless? Why are they allowing Felder to make fools out of them?
That is an excellent question. I saw Senator Michael Gennaris on television last night in a live interview, and they asked him that exact question. And Senator Gennaris said, if I can paraphrase, I am not quoting him, I am paraphrasing. Basically, he said that, one, because of the IDC being submerged into the Senate Democratic Conference, all of the challenges or fund or promised funding that the Senate Democratic Conference made are now void. They're no longer going to keep their commitments to any of the IDC challengers. That's one. Two, the Senate part of this submerging of the IDC back to the Democratic Conference. So number two is that the conference will now support the IDC incumbents against those challengers. And three, regarding Senator Felder, that they will basically offer carrots to him to encourage his return to the Democratic Conference.
How do you see Cuomo in all this? He came out with a letter the other day, yesterday, that he mailed to Felder, but the article asked why Cuomo has been powerless, even though he wrote the letter yesterday. What's your feeling about Cuomo not really being forceful as he can be to get Felder back into the fold?
Well, I have two thoughts about what the governor did yesterday. My first thought is that letter was not worth the paper it was printed on. And my second thought is that many people think the governor is a great strategician. I would clarify that, and I would like to say he's more of a tactician than a strategician. So I'm a strategist. So right. So he's less strategy and more tactics. So I think the governor is actually operating without a plan.
Without a plan?
Yes.
Wow. So do you think Cuomo is looking for others to come up with that plan that he could follow?
Yes. I think the governor is, I mean, not that the public is being informed about this, of course, but I am very confident that the governor is looking for others that are unknown to the general public to find a way to proceed and actually leading the state either through its executive functions or through his interaction of the executive branch vis-a-vis the legislative branch.
Okay. So this whole thing is quite interesting. So you and I spoke yesterday. Would you be comfortable talking about the real estate interests that we spoke of yesterday, or do you want to save that for another show?
No, we can certainly mention the real estate interests in this state. So a lot of this kerfuffle happening within the state Senate has everything to do with large and powerful real estate interests in New York City. And so they're the elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. And the real estate interests, they need, or at least they think that they need, a Republican majority in the state Senate to check the power of the Assembly Democrats and possibly the governor.
Okay. So people don't realize that the real estate interests are calling this shot mostly in this whole election. Would I be correct in that assumption?
I would say yes. And this is the average voter throughout New York State. So this is so the moneyed real estate interests are concerned about New York City, but their influence and power is spread across the entire state, and they work to ensure a Republican majority in within the state Senate, and having Felder as the linchpin or swing vote to that majority is going to be the most paramount concern of the real estate lobby.
Now, would you say that was the reason that Jeff Klein and his gang decided to jump ship and create the IDC? Was it the real estate interest that did that also?
That is a really interesting question. I can touch lightly on that question, and then if time allows, you can ask follow-up questions, because that could be a topic for an entire show. But I would like to answer it, and then you can decide if you want to follow up or save that for another show. So one of the myths of the IDC was that they were exercising some type of legislative prerogative when they created the IDC and were staying there, and that somehow their return back to the Democratic Conference fold would actually make a difference. The reality is, because there's 32 Democrats and 31 Republicans, with the 32nd Democrat being Senator Felder voting for the Republican majority, though the Senate Democratic Conference, they lost their ability to control the agenda in the state Senate and to appoint chairmanships to the committees. So if you were in the Senate Democratic Conference, you basically didn't have any more leadership power. So when Klein and the other seven IDC members made their power-sharing agreement with Flanagan, they were not giving up any legislative prerogatives. What they were doing was cashing in on an opportunity that Senator Felder had created. So basically, what one could say, they were surfing the Felder wake. I think that's more accurate. They're basically water surfing the wake that the Felder boat was creating, and they did that because they did it for political personal gain through Lulu's, which is now the state controller has now stopped, and two, through political gain by getting pork barrel projects in their districts to upgrade the incumbency protection program. So, and then Flanagan, who's the Senate Republican president, who's really in charge, and people do not spend enough time talking about Flanagan, because he really is between Felder and Flanagan, they really are the most pivotal players in the state Senate. And Flanagan, of course, did not need to do any of this. Flanagan did not need to give the IDC Lulus, which is the Albany word for extra money for either no work or little work, or in other places they're called stipends, and for throwing some pork at the eight IDC members. He was using the IDC as a foil against the backbenchers of the Republicans to consolidate his power within his own conference. So the people who should be the most upset, who had never paid any attention to any of the IDC shenanigans, should have been Republican voters, because it was their state senators that were basically being jammed up because of the IDC.
So it was written and talked about for a number of years since the formation of the IDC that it was a plan hatched by Klein and sanctioned by Cuomo Would you say that was accurate?
Well, we can certainly, I do not have any, well, the first part is true, which is about Klein. The second part is I do not have enough information to use the word sanctioned, but I can spoke, but we certainly saw the what happened, how the governor treated Klein and the IDC. So he certainly breathed life into that power sharing arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, what's in store for you as far as your primary campaign? What will you be doing for the next few weeks?
Well, thank you for asking. We have a. I'm going to the Central Brooklyn Independent Democratic Club tonight. I will be speaking there in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I'm hoping to receive their political endorsement for this race. I spoke on Monday night at the Ernest Skinner Club, which is Jamani Williams' political club, who is running for lieutenant governor.
Okay.
I am seeking their endorsement. We have a fundraising event in Flatbush on Friday night, which has been very successful, which is posted on my Facebook page, which is Blake Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, 1-7. And we'll be having house parties and other scheduled events very soon. There are political clubs I know on my calendar for the next 2 weeks where I'll be speaking. Well, I will have speaking engagements. Hopefully I speak better at those engagements than just men. And hopefully I will be seeking their endorsements as well. And plus, so many people have been liking us on Facebook, so I would like to ask people to please like us on Facebook and share my Facebook page. And they can go also to my website, which is Blake Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, for statesenate.com. All the words are spelled out, and people can volunteer, they can donate. They can read about the campaign. Some people have complained that, and it is a complaint. Some people have complained that we don't have more issues on our Facebook page and our website. And I would like to inform people that we are working on that issue, and hopefully we will have a lot more content on both the website and the Facebook page.
One last question for today, Blake. How much money do you think you would need to defeat Felder in both the primary and general?
That is an excellent question. So I live my life through the concept of belt and suspenders. So we like to do things correct and right the first time, and I also believe in making sure that there is reliability to our actions. So I actually think that just raising $50,000 would be enough to beat a turncoat Democrat, which is Felder, in a heavily Democratic Senate district. Now that I've said that, I think the suspender part of that is that we would like to raise about $300,000 to accomplish that.
Do you think that the money that was spent on the Latimer seat, the $1 million or whatever the figure was, to elect Myers, do you think that money would have better spent on your race?
That is a very insightful question. I do not know the answer. The real estate industry, a lot of moneyed interests poured a lot of money into that race, and so the Democrats definitely needed to win it. It was obvious that the moneyed interests, they also felt the same way. So that was a scrum. Both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, actually, it's not to even say it's Republicans is actually, I feel so uncomfortable talking about Republicans that way as Republicans, because the Republicans themselves are not really the ones spending the money and that have the passion. It's actually the moneyed interests of banks and real estate. It's the banks and real estate lobby. So it's really the banks and real estate lobby versus Democrats. That's what you really have here. The Republicans are basically just a cover story for those lobbies. And the Republicans are consent to be used as a front man for these special interests. So the special interests thought that this race was that seat in Westchester was available to them, so the Democrats basically had no choice but to counter that spending themselves. And they kept, and because the Democrats kept that seat, we now were able to now focus on Felder.
Okay, one last question, Blake. You had just mentioned that Republicans are a front for the moneyed interest of banks and real estate. To a certain extent, would you say that the Democrats are like that also?
No, actually, I would not say that what we can say is there are some. Actually, I would like to clarify that statement. I would say there are some Democrats that are definitely acting like Republicans, and they wear Democratic clothing. There are many other and way more Democrats that are not doing that. So,
and we can
identify the Democrats that are that act like the Republican frontmen. So basically, frontmen come in two coats. Actually, they wear three coats. One coat is they wear a Republican coat. Two is they wear a Democratic coat that says IDC on it, or a supporter of the IDC. And then the third coat that people wear is a turncoat, which is Senator Felder, who actually wears a regular Democratic coat, but actually is hiding out as a Republican.
Okay, so in our final moments, would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. You can volunteer, comment, and hopefully contribute to my campaign at BlakeMorris, MORRIS.com. I'm sorry, BlakeMorris for State Senate. .com, all spelled out, or you can like us and share on Facebook at Blake Morris, MORRIS, and then the numbers 17. And on the website and Facebook, there's all our mailing address, phone numbers, and our Twitter handle and email.
Thanks, Blake. I hope to talk with you again as this primary season evolves. So you have been listening to Blake Morris, who is primarying Simca Felder in Brooklyn. If you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thanks, Blake. We'll be talking again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.